Sorry, Joy.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm an addict. I first want to say I'm really honored to be up here. The whole way up here, I was like, okay, I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk. But I know that I have a story, and that's it. That's all I have, so that's what you're going to get. My clean date is August 7, 2001, and at that time, I didn't think that I could get one day clean. I didn't want to stay in this program, and I really didn't think this was for me. You know, when I had first been exposed to Narcotics Anonymous, I was maybe 18, and I guess I hadn't had enough yet, because the first day I came in, they said, maybe you're not an addict. You know, I tried to deny this and deny that, and I said, okay, thank you, bye. And I think 10 years later was the next time I came into a Narcotics Anonymous room, and by that time I had a whole lot of other experiences to sort of say that I was definitely an addict. But I have spent a lot of time in my recovery trying to deny that, you know, trying to just be an addict sometimes when it was convenient for me, or when I was in trouble. When I was out there on the street, I had a whole lot of tools that I used to survive out there. I liked living on the street. I liked the atmosphere. I liked being downtown at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I didn't want to be responsible. I burned every bridge that I ever had. I used every person I ever met, and I hurt every person that tried to help me. And it took me a long time to come into the rooms, because I had such a hard head. I thought that I wanted to do it my way, and you couldn't tell me anything. You know, I left my house when I was 16, and basically I told my mother, thank you, you taught me enough. And so my next teacher was a pimp and a drug dealer, and The streets raised me for the rest of the time I was in D.C., and sorry, I'm nervous, and this thing is staring me in my face. I remember all the times that I was out there thinking, you know, everybody that was up, getting up in the morning, paying bills, doing what they were supposed to do, they were, like, following somebody else's rules that I couldn't understand. You know, they didn't make sense to me. I wanted to be able to decide for myself where I went, you know, who I went there with and what I did. But what I didn't realize was that the drugs had decided for me everything that I was doing. And every day that I woke up, I had a plan, but it wasn't really my plan. It was the plan that I needed to get something so that I could walk. You know, I had to know who I was going to call, where I was going to go, when I was going to get what I needed to get. And I was the kind of person that would do anything. You know, if there was something that needed to be done, they would say, go get Joy, she'll do it. I had my own crowbar. I had my own Timberlands. I didn't care what it was. I had forgotten how to be afraid. You know, I had lost the ability to be afraid. And so I didn't care. I thought I was going to die out there. And it didn't bother me that I was going to die out there. You know, I felt like I was being true to something. That there was something out there for me, my reputation, true to the life that I had decided to live. And I got to the point where I didn't even want anything else. You know, if I could walk, I was all right. I had given away my daughter to the man that beat my ass, and that didn't bother me. I left my son with his father, and that didn't bother me. You know, I stopped talking to my family. I just decided that I lived on the street all the time in this underground world. I never went into a store when it was open. I never saw people in the daylight. When the birds started singing, it was time for me to go home. And I was really okay with that. Well, one day I woke up and I didn't have a plan. You know, I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't have anything else to do, and so I had to find something. You know, every place I ever went, there was always somebody. There was always somebody saying, you don't belong here. You know, and I was fighting it. I didn't want to come in here. I really didn't think that I could get this program. You know, I didn't think I had what it took to be something different than what I was. I had a lot of experience doing that, and I had a lot of good teachers. You know, to do something different, something new, I didn't want it. I didn't believe that you could be clean and not bored to death. I didn't want a bowl. I didn't drink coffee and still don't. You know, I didn't want to sit around. I wanted excitement in my life. And to me, that meant getting high. So by the time I came in, I was so beat up that I ain't had nowhere else to go. And this was the only place that said, girl, you can come right here. And even at that moment when people were saying that to me, I was like, yeah, okay. I would sit here high as a kite in meetings all the time. And it didn't bother me what you thought of me. I didn't care, you know. I didn't think nothing of me. So I did hear some things when I first came in, like keep coming back. If you don't pick up, it won't get high. One day at a time. These were all like new ideas to me. I didn't make any sense to me. What do you mean if you don't pick up, you don't get high? You know, to me, I couldn't understand not picking up. If my body said it's time, I was like, okay. You know, my response was always okay to whatever my body said it needed. But today I recognized, just like the experiences that I have had today, being nervous about speaking up here and not really understanding why I am chosen to stand up here today, because I don't feel like I've done anything. You know, I don't feel, and to tell you the truth, I haven't. You all have. I'm standing here today as a product of what you all have given me, because all the experience that I had couldn't keep me clean for one day. And didn't even make me feel like a person that had, that deserved to stay clean one day. You know, so as I put time, a little bit of time together, I began, and when I got clean, I had to be divorced from all those tools that I used out there. You know, my tight jeans, my lipstick, my telephone, all that stuff I used to manipulate you all and to get what I needed from you. I had to be divorced from them before I could move forward. Before I could see me clearly, I had to remove all those tools. And that was hard. Just going to a place where I knew they was going to do that took me a minute. I was so comfortable in manipulating that I didn't know anything else. You know, I sat in meetings for a year and didn't say anything. And couldn't share. I didn't know what to say, you know. Everything that I knew was about where I had been, and I knew that I didn't want to go back there, but I didn't know how to stay in here. And I didn't know how to do a step or make a friend or be a friend, be a mother. I didn't know any of that. You know, I didn't know how to be a daughter, sister. I didn't know. You know, and I had no idea at the time how many things I didn't know about my life and what I needed to know in order to move forward just a little bit. But as I sat in the rooms and I listened to y'all speak and I listened to your stories, I never heard one story that was just like mine, right? And I kept saying, I ain't heard it yet. And that was just enough reason for me to come back at first. I wanted so much for somebody to say, I've been right where you are and you're going to be all right. I never heard that out of one mouth, but I heard it out of every single mouth that I ever heard say anything in these rooms. It wasn't my story, but it was the same pain. You know, it was the same feeling, it was the same insecurities, self-loathing, it was all the same. And so I said, well, shit. Maybe that's all right, you know. And I had a lot of experiences my first year that helped me gain some understanding about that there might be something different out there for me, that there might be some hope in my life to be something more than what I thought I could be. You know, I had introduction to my higher power very early in this process, and I think that it was because I needed it. You know, I might not have stayed if I hadn't seen some things and heard some things and experienced my own stuff that made me say, like, this is it for me. You know, ain't nowhere else to go. That same daughter that I told you I gave away, I have custody of now. And not because of nothing I did right, but because of something y'all did. I stayed clean for 1 year exactly, and she came home. Now, God rest her father's soul, it was because of that she came home. But if I hadn't been clean, if you guys hadn't been pouring that information into me, I would have had no idea, you know, how to take care of her. I wouldn't have been in a position, you know. This program has helped me get into position for the next step in my life. And that's all the time. That's every day that I come in here. But as I was thinking about this topic, right, and I know that I was chosen for this topic for a very specific reason, because I have experience with being a newcomer and sort of being an old-timer and definitely being a sometimer. Because when I go through stuff, even in here, if I go through something and I don't know how to deal with it, you know, it's like a new feeling that I haven't yet learned how to filter, I will shut down. I'll shut y'all out. I will shut everybody in my life out. I might go to sleep. I might take my dog for a walk and not come back for quite a while. But I will not call you. I will not go to a meeting, and I will not tell you that I'm in pain. And over time, I'm learning that that is the sometimer part. You know, sometime after I've gone through it, then I'll come in here and tell you, guess what I did? You know, one time I gave away all the furniture in my living room. And it was because my daughter, the one I told you about, I had found a letter that said she had had her first drink and a whole lot of other firsts that I wasn't ready for. Right? I had to take my daughter off that little princess Barbie doll pedestal and put her down here with the rest of us, real people. And I wasn't ready for that. She was forcing me to do it, and I didn't want to do it. You know, I want to have that little play doll that I could dress up and look cute and don't do nothing wrong. Because I can't handle wrong, right? I wasn't sure how to discipline, you know, what to do next. And so I didn't say nothing. I just gave all my stuff away. And that is the wrong response. Let me just tell you one first, okay? So I'm in the meeting, and I said it after I did it, right? And this girl goes, "You still got your TV?" It was at that moment that I realized something was wrong. But after that, what happened was, it was like the me coming into the room and sharing about it was like the door opener for me, because I got information. You know, I hadn't met anyone that had dealt with my daughter. And so I didn't know if I was willing to put my daughter's, like, next move in your hands, right? Listening to your experience and what you did with your kids wasn't enough for me. I didn't know if I could trust you, you know. Are you telling me your opinion? Are you giving me your experience? I didn't know. And so what I did was I had learned along the way about becoming an informed member, right? Becoming responsible for your own recovery. All those things that I had learned when I first came in here began to, like, talk to me. You know, I was able to apply those principles to dealing with my daughter. So I took her to a jail, right? I had them walk her little butt around so that she would know what would happen to her in Maryland's no-tolerance law, being 17. You know, what would happen to her license? What would happen? What could happen to her as a young woman? You know, I gave her some information, and I addressed with counseling and conversation and the things that you all have taught me, I was able to apply to my daughter. That was only after I gave all my stuff away. And the thing is that that's not the first time that I do that, right? When my husband left, I gave all my stuff away. It was just my kitchen at that time, right? And then I got on with the business of dealing with that, right? It's just that I'm only now starting to understand that if I come every day to the same meeting once a week, then somebody will notice, even when I can't say anything. Somebody will notice when I'm not right, because I'll come in there every day looking a certain way, and then suddenly my face is all crunched up, and they will know. Because I can't always say something, you know. I can't always say it. Sometimes I don't even know how to say it, still. You know, I do step work, and I talk about what's going on with me, and I still always don't know. I told you when I came in that that I didn't want to stay. And I think maybe after, you know, I got my daughter back and I got a little puffed up and excited, you know, look what I did. I got my daughter. I got my next few lessons. I decided that I was going to make the picture-perfect N.A. fairy tale, Cinderella. So I went, got married, and we moved into our house together. We didn't have a white picket fence, but it was imaginary. In my mind, we had it. And I have a way of, like, trying to create stuff that isn't there. So I created that. And somebody... with a lot of time, said, Joy, you know, you really need to do your fourth step before you get married. And I was like, no, whatever. Get out of my business. You don't know what you're talking about. Love ain't got nothing to do with the fourth step. So after I got divorced, I did my fourth step. Right, I understand now how much love has to do with the fourth step. But I always seem to learn backwards, right? Because I want to do what I want to do still. You know, I was out there for a long time. A long time. And that stuff don't come off you right away. You know, I lived on the street and I have independent thinking. You know, if I think it, I'm going to go do it. If it's a problem, I'm going to go fix it. And then when it's broken still, then I'll come to you. And I am becoming open today. But that is not always the case. See, I have this whole laundry list of stuff that makes me okay. You know, I can't go there because I need this and this. And I can't do that unless this and this happens. And nope, I don't eat that food. And I don't wear them clothes. And I don't go over there. And I want to get my hair wet and all these things that I have that I think I need to be happy, right? But what I'm finding out is those are the things that keep me enclosed in a box by myself, right? I can't make friends with you unless you have these qualities, unless you look a certain way, you sound a certain way. If I can understand what you're saying, then we can be friends. If you speak with a different accent, maybe not. I might just cut you off without even knowing it because you're not like me. But I find myself in a smaller and smaller box every time I put one of those restrictions on you. I really have put them on me. And so in order to come out of those restrictions, that small, teeny little box I place myself in, I have to forego all my restrictions. Yes, I'll get in your car and go wherever you want to go. What are we eating? You tell me. Just, you know, whatever it is, I have to be okay with it. I have to learn how to let you be you and me be me. And that's not always easy for me. You know, I was out there doing anything I had to do to survive. I wore the clothes you wanted me to wear. I went to places you said it was okay to go. We spent your money, so whatever it was, you bought it. And I got what it was. But today it's not that, you know, I try to not manipulate this program. But like I told you, I was out there for a long ass time. So manipulation came easier to me than anything else. And I can't always see me coming, even though I have done step work. I can't always see me coming. You know, I always got another trick. There's a trick up there, you know, that my disease is trying to attach to my program. To say, you know, well, if you don't like that situation, you know, the program says all you got to do is walk away. Right? But how many friends you going to walk away from before you say, shit, you got to learn how to deal with something? I mean, stop. You can't run your whole life. I never did nothing I didn't want to do. I was so high out there, I wanted to do everything I was doing. I didn't want to come in. And in here, I used the program to say, I don't need to deal with you. You don't make me feel good. I don't need to do that no more. Right, but I'm finally understanding that this program is trying to mold me. I got sharp edges. I got a bad attitude. I can be mean, and I don't even want to be. Sometimes I can't even stop myself from doing something that I don't want to do. Shoot. I'm telling you, you know, when I go over a bridge, I start sweating. Can't stop. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. Please get me to 4 minutes. Bay Bridge, 4 minutes. Okay? I can't stop my body from doing that. You know, it doesn't help that a big truck just went over it. But it's the way that my body reacts to certain things. And just like when you say something to me I don't like, I have a reaction, right? And it used to be that something would pop right out. You'd get whatever I was thinking. And believe me, it wasn't nice ever. You know, I could cut you like a knife with my tongue. And didn't care if I hurt you. I didn't care. I thought I was proud about it, you know? That doesn't happen as often anymore, thankfully. But I do find myself still enclosed, you know? I do find myself still unwilling, even in this program. And what I have found is that my biggest success is when I'm always willing. You know, I'm always trying, and I'm always honest, at least with myself. I don't necessarily always want to tell you the truth. But I know it. I just wanted to know how much time we had, so I ain't start talking over. Oh, and I say enough. I love this program for all those reasons that I said to you. You know, I never worked a day in my life on time with a good attitude every day until I came into this program. I don't call in slick now because I'm not slick anymore. It's not that I couldn't do it. When I was slick, I didn't care. But I'm not that person anymore. It's not that I have to try not to be me. I had to become a different me. You know, or I would still do it when y'all weren't looking. I would, because I knew I could get away with some stuff. Give it to me, I'll hold it. They won't even do nothing to me. That was my attitude. I knew I could get away with it. But now it's not like that for me. I don't even want to get away with it. You know, I want to be the kind of person that can wake up and feel good about who I am. You know, who my friends are, what I do, who I talk to. And I ain't never had that before I came in here. I have nothing before I came in here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joy. And now we have Jared.
Gerard. My name is Gerard. I'm a very, very grateful and proud recovering addict.
Hey, Gerard.
And I thank God for allowing me to be here to share. It's real good to be here at this particular convention. I've been here many times before. And my clean date is July the 15th, 1982. And I find that it's necessary that I remain constant in touch with what saved my life. I often share with my sponsees and people that I know that once you think you got this thing, you just lost it. And for almost 27 years, I've been coming back on a regular basis. I've been in service. I try to help somebody with no strings attached. I certainly got a God in my understanding. And every day that I wake up alive, I tell myself I'm not going to use the day no matter what. And I've been doing that for a long time. I continue to do that because the bottom line, I don't want to bite the hand that feed me. As an old timer, I feel obligated, morally obligated, to continue to give this program back as it was freely given to me. And the only way that I can do that is in the premise of you people showing you what this program has done for me. And let me tell you, when I got to this program, I was a 000. And what that means, spiritually, physically, and mentally, I was bankrupt. And I wanted a new way of life. I found out that I had been in the war of Vietnam, and I had used dope in Vietnam, and I had brought that same behavior that I used in Vietnam, trying to numb myself from the fright of wanting to die and couldn't die. Because the many times that I was on the scale, on the excursions of dying, I didn't. And I brought that same behavior back to the States, and I found out that I was a serious dope fiend. Nothing but dope. Serious dope fiend. Stole from my mama, robbed everybody, ran off with packages. I did the whole gamut. And when I looked up, I was locked up for 26 times. Been in every jail in the D.C. area. Locked up from everything from petty larceny to armed robbery. I found out that I refused to give up a bag of dope, and the dude shot me twice. The kind of serious dope fiend that I was. I would rather die than to give my dope up. So when I got to the program, I was real seasoned to come here and to lock in and commit myself to the simple program. And as an old timer, what I had to do, I got down on my knees in treatment, and I told God I'd rather die than go back to drinking and drugging. I've never relapsed, and I've never done bad in this program because I've chased this program like I chased my dope. And as a serious dope fiend, I had to convert into a serious narcotic anonymous person, you know. I happen to have a tattooed on my arm that states Narcotic Anonymous and my clean date. And the reason that I put that clean date, that because it's never going to change. And I'm confident of saying that, you know, because I know the many chances that I've had the opportunity to feel like it's time to use, I didn't use. My mother just died back in November. I love my mama dearly. I lost two brothers to the disease. I lost nephews, grandsons. I done lost a lot of people in my life, and I haven't found it necessary to use. And as an old-timer, I have to do the same thing that a newcomer does, you know, because you don't get no freebie in here. You have to earn your recovery in here. And I earn mine, and I continue to earn mine, and I continue to put protection on mine. You know, I'm not a sometimer because I feel like God gave me this program. And my gift is back to y'all, is my gift back to God. Because I found out that one old timer told me years ago, he said, if you don't act like you deserve this program, God will take it away from you and get to somebody who's deserving. What I want to do is remain deserving. I've had a wonderful journey. You know, I'm obsessed with Narcotic Anonymous. You know, when I don't get to Narcotic Anonymous, I feel like I just stole something. I feel like I'm a petty addict again. It's for real. For real. And see, people can come into these rooms and steal. You steal information, steal all the valuable information that we have, and you ride off into the sunset to your own personal business. You don't have no personal business when you come to Narcotic Anonymous. This is a we program. And whatever you get out of this program is deserved to be given back to this program. It's not for you to come and get as an individual and ride off like you don't done something by yourself. If you could have stayed clean by yourself, you wouldn't have came in here. For real. And people need to be told that because the newcomers think that it's a free ride. It's not a free ride in here. You got to clean up what you messed up. And if you don't do that, then don't blame nobody. Don't use the blame game that you call because you're from the poor family or you're black or you're white or you're this or you're that. That ain't going to get it in here. Coming in here and working the steps for your own personal development. What I did when I came into the program, I didn't have an education. I didn't have anything. All I had was a bunch of misery behind me. My sponsor told me, you need to go back to school. He said, you need to develop some more skills. So I went back to school, got me a GED. I went to college for a couple of years. I wound up being a certified addiction counselor. Something that I knew about. That's my skill. I know how to use and I know how to stay clean. Fortunately for me, I've been clean longer than I use. I'm going to be for a crack addict, so don't compare yourself out when you hear about people shooting dope, smoking reefer, drinking liquor, all that. A drug is a drug is a drug. And if it damaged your ass and you got here, then you're in the right place, for real, for real. I forgot to tell y'all, too, I speak two languages, profanity and English. And a lot of times they get misconstrued, you know, they come out any kind of way they come out. But that's only keeping it real, because life was not good for me when I use. Life is tremendously good when I don't use. So I make the choice every day what I'm going to do. I don't want to use. I don't want to even see people use. You know, I get a bad feeling that I have to remove myself when I get feeling like, you know, no, this is not for me. This is not the environment that I need to be, so I get to step in. I don't have to say anything derogatory. I don't have to call you up or have to say anything that is demeaning to you. What I need to do is to recognize who I am. And you know what? I had a dope fiend dream last night. I had a dope fiend dream that me and my brother was shooting dope again. My brother's been dead for now almost 14 years. But I had a dream because we shot a lot of dope together. You know, we did a lot of damage. We took a lot of money together. We took a lot of money for dope. So when you hear me talk about money, it was all for dope when I used. Wasn't for no buying no clothes. Wasn't, I ain't want no bad car. I ain't want no Cadillac. I ain't want nothing but to have me the next one. I want to make sure that I had it secure. And a lot of times I failed at having it secure. So what I had to do when I came into this program, I had to take this program very serious, because a lot of people don't take it serious. And I've learned from other people, and the reason I mention other people is because I've learned from other people. I see what they did and what they got, and I try to stay away from that. You know, and I always try to be encouraging, man. Try to be inspiring. When I conduct myself in the meetings in the proper way, the way that I was taught, I come to a meeting, I sit up front, I get there early, you know, I share my experience, strength, and hope. I try to encourage the newcomer to keep coming back. I shake their hand. I hug them. I'm no better than they are, because there's no big eyes and no little U's in here. We're all in this thing together trying to help each other to encourage each other to stay clean. Because I know when you stay clean, everybody's going to be okay. Eventually, if they're not okay, they're going to get okay behind you being clean. You know, the bottom line is that when you talk about newcomers, you know, all this thing gives you is a daily reprieve. You know, you got to learn how to do this thing one day at a time. Newcomers don't need to be trying to get too much of in a hurry to get the car, you know what I'm saying, to get the clothes and all that. Take your time. Because when you take your time, ain't no air in it. Because when you get to the point where you're speeding too fast, you need to ask yourself, where the hell am I trying to go? You can't go nowhere in here. When you come in here, you got to be locked in here forever. If you consider yourself living recovery the way it's supposed to be living, dressing real good, looking real good, smelling real good, family hugging you and liking you and often they're not closing the doors, not hiding their pocketbooks no more, you're living good. So you need to recognize that there's more of that coming if you stay here. Now, if you try to run off in the sunset and try to say, well, maybe I can go somewhere and drink me a light beer because socially accepted ability doesn't equal recovery, but socially you can drink. Socially you can smoke a little marijuana if you don't get caught. But see, when you're in here, you can't do nothing. And see, what has happened in this program, if you keep coming here for a long time, this program will change you without your permission. You'll be wondering why I can't go around those people no more, why I can't do that no more, because you develop a conscience of righteousness in here. You might not make it perfect, you might not do it all the time, but you're going to make sure that you're doing the things that got you caught up. You're going to stop those things. Only you know those things. You know, whether it's tricking, whether it's whatever it is, you really know that. And what happens, you have to be true to your own self. And work on those things that are damaging to you. If you can't stay clean, man, there's something going on. You can't get honest. Most people who can't get honest ain't going to stay clean no how. To their own self, be true, man. That's what the fourth step is about. A moral inventory. What you've done, where you've been. Not what I've done and where I've been, but where you've been and what you've done. And it's all about cleaning house. And how you clean houses, you just stop doing the things that you used to do. Very simple. This program has made men and women. You know, when I came in here, they told me that I was a shell of a man. So what my whole goal was to become a grown-ass man. By that mean that being responsible for oneself, going to work every day, paying my bills, getting insurance on my ass, and certainly getting some life insurance on my ass. Because all the damage I've done to my body, I was hoping that maybe I could live a little bit before I die because of the damage that I've done. But by the grace of God, man, for the grace of God, and I get emotional with this because I should have been dead a long time ago. But I've been spared. You know, I've been spared by way of this program because had I not came to this program, I'd have been a long time gone. You know, and it's kind of like hard. You try to kill your damn self and can't even do that right. I'm serious. It's weird, man. It's weird. It's weird. There's miracles in this program, man, and there's magic in these programs. I've seen the magic. I've seen people come in here, tore out the frame, man. Then they blossom into beautiful flowers, man. Get the kids back, drive nice cars, work nice jobs, you know what I'm saying? Loving and caring spirit. And they came in here evil as a bat. But see, that's what I mean by the program will change you without your permission. You know, and let me say this to people, because we all know there's haters. We all know that people are going to be jealous of you when you're moving on. You know, they're going to try to pull you down. You know, what other people think about you ain't your business. What one needs to understand is that I'm in here as an individual to save my ass. And if you ain't trying to get with the program, pass me by. Because sometimes you got to be very, very serious about this program, man. Because some people will know that you got something that they want and they can't get it. They'll try to steal it from you. They'll try to set you up. They'll try to make you feel inadequate or feel like you know, it's just like being a thug, you know what I'm saying? And when you see your old thug partners and shit, they say, man, you all soft, man. You don't got broken, man. What's up? They don't brainwash you in that program. Well, you damn right. I needed my brainwash. And I need to know. Hey, look. And I need to know I need to stay away from your stupid ass. For real. And I had to tell people that. I had to tell my brother before he died, we were beefing because of the fact that he was living a lifestyle that I had lived before, but I'm not living that no more. And I couldn't compromise it. You know what I'm saying? You can't straddle the fence in here. When you got people that don't have your best interest, you need to tell them or need to understand them. Either you pass them by, go around them, or let them pass you by. Because they will get you. And if you're in a relationship with somebody who's still using, and you still trying to hang in there thinking they gonna change because you changed. You need to do a U-turn. You need to do a U-turn. And if it's meant for you, it'll come back to you. This is serious business, man. Recovery is very serious. If you don't know, drugs and alcohol and cigarette kills more people than we can imagine. And we all indulge in it like it's casual behavior. No, it's not casual behavior. I bet everybody in here can say that somebody in their family or somebody that they know died as a direct result of this disease. Multiple times. For me, it's hundreds of times. So I don't play with recovery, and that's the reason why I am an old-timer. The reason why I'm a newcomer, because I come every day. I'm not a sometimer. I'm not going to take that out because I don't want to be. I'm not a sometimer. I never have been a sometimer. I've been consistent with my flow of recovery because it's all that I am. And I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me. I don't care if I don't never get another gift in this program. I've gotten mine. And I cherish, and I've never lost anything. And the reason that I think is because God has protected me because he sees the job that I'm doing in trying to share my experience, strength, and hope with others. I show up every day, man. I got to show up every day. Like I say, I feel like a petty thief if I miss a couple of meetings. I'm still in service. You know, the bottom line is that you never get this program, man. Why would you want to get it? Why would you want to get it? And the reason that I'm saying that is because of the fact that as old timers, we have to come to meetings on a regular basis to show others how to conduct themselves in meetings, how to be to their own self true and share honestly. Because when I share honestly, maybe you can get honest. When I talk about me, because if you ain't talking about you, you ain't talking about nobody. And people who judge don't count, and people who count don't judge. If you see me fall down on my face, don't be sniggling and laughing and shit. Come over and try to help me up. Because one day you're going to fall on your goddamn face. And you're going to want somebody to help you up. Because nobody get it, no matter, it doesn't equate to material things, how much money you got, what kind of job you got, or how many letters you got behind your name. That doesn't equal recovery. Recovery is like asking you, what have you done for me lately? Have you chaired a meeting? Have you shared your experience, strength, and hope? Have you took a newcomer home? Have you gave a newcomer $2 if he needed to catch the bus? But you can only do what was done for you. That's the kind of stuff that was done for me. People kept me by my hand and guided me through this program. They taught me how to do things. I asked people to help me when I needed help. They helped me. So when people ask me for help, if I can't help you, I'm going to refer you to somebody who I think can help you. Program is a we program. It's not a I, big I, or little you. It's a we program. And we have to help each other. We got to stop criticizing each other and hating on people. We need to show love because this is a loving and caring program. Because you know you say in the Lord's Prayer, remove us from all evil. Forgive people. People who do you wrong. When you forgive them, you don't help them, you help yourself. You help yourself. It's just like if you say you got a beef with somebody and every time they come in the room, you don't forget everything about what's going on in the room. You don't hate it on them. Now all of a sudden you got punk ass motherfucker. You know, be saying shit like that in your head. You know what I'm saying? Step to the brother and try to compromise or try to solve whatever's going on with you because you don't need that undivided attention and that kind of living in your head rent-free. You know, you have to rid yourself of that. That's why forgiveness is very important in a loving and caring program. Somebody talked about you, so what? If they told the truth, then you accept it. A lot of people don't want to accept the truth when people talk about them. Say, you know, Witchcomb got caught stealing. Then all of a sudden, to get back to me, I'm going to step to you and bust you up because I got caught stealing. You know, it's kind of like, you know, these are the kind of things, these are little tricky things that get you caught up. And if you got a beef with somebody and you know they're going to be in the meeting, I ain't going to that meeting, that sucker in there. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of thing that gets you caught up. And you know what? That's the kind of behavior that causes you to use. Because you're not willing to stand and face reality as it is. Face life on life terms. And matter of fact, if I say something about you, ain't nothing you can do to me about that. You know what I'm saying? Because the next turn, somebody going to say something about me. And if I can dish it, then I can take it. So if I don't say it, maybe most likely they won't say it to me. If I don't hate on you, maybe you won't hate on me. If I show you love, love is greater than hate. That's the only thing that can conquer hate is love. And the evilness, man. You know, and sometimes in your subconscious there's evil lurking, just waiting for a moment to come out. See, it's up to you to check him. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I used to drive around, man, and I used to be mad at myself for something I done did. I just start shouting and talking, cussing myself out. You stupid motherfucker. Why you do that? For real. But I got it out of me, and it made me recognize what was going on with me, that I really wanted to do good. But I was falling short. So I had to give myself a little more enthusiasm. You know, so I could go ahead and try it again. Because if I just let it leak, I said, oh, no, that ain't for me, man. I'm gone. And don't accomplish what I need to accomplish. See, I'm always setting goals for myself that I believe are personal with me as trying to be a grown-ass man. And you know what? All the gifts that I got, the only thing I ever wanted to be was a grown-ass man. Not nobody who felt weak or victim to something that don't even talk, don't move, don't do nothing but cause misery. I wanted to know how to say no. If you put it mounds of it on top of the table today, I'm going to say, that ain't for me, I'm gone. Grown ass man making decisions, saying what I mean and mean what I say. I don't want to use no drugs no more. I don't want to be a derelict no more. I don't want to be a bum. I don't want to be a sorry-ass man. That's what I tell myself on a daily basis. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good grandpa. I want to be a good homeowner. I want to be all the things that I could dream of being. And this program has presented them in my arms. So I embrace them. And I like it. I like exactly what's happening to me. I ain't perfect. I fall short in a number of areas. But one area I have not fell short in, that's using. I locked into recovery, man, and I love recovery. I'm a recovery lover. I love recovery because recovery loves me back. It ain't never talked back to me. They ain't gave me something and took it back. It has taught me that as an old timer, to come here and to represent this program fully, not half-assed, because I could say I got mines. I don't need y'all no more. I've been clean longer than I use. I know I could probably stay clean another 27 years without meetings and all that kind of stuff, but I just don't get it. I think I'll walk out and God will send a bolt of lightning on my ass that quick. Because one more time, I'll be an ungrateful-ass addict. See, that's what addicts do. Addicts are petty. They're petty. I want mine and yours, too. But today is all about getting yours and sharing yours. And letting people know that they can get it also. And that this program don't cost you a dime. Don't cost you a dime. And there's a lot of love in here. There's some bullshit in here too. But wherever you go, there's going to be bullshit. You just got to learn how to clean your act up. Where you can't identify with the bullshit. And feed into the bullshit. And tell yourself, that's bullshit. You know, you can't come and tell me, man, I had a light beer and I ain't caught. That didn't take away my recovery. I said, that's bullshit. You can't tell me you just got caught stealing in the mall. Now you're in jail. I said, that's bullshit. You know better than that. See, and you know what? People try to, you know, people work automatically and simultaneously from their own previous behavior. And let me tell you this, on the most intelligent tone, your behavior of old is still there, waiting on you. Like they used to tell me that your disease is doing push-ups on your ass, and it's just waiting for that vulnerable moment when you forget who you are. You know, they got a book out called "Cure for Drugs and Alcohol Addiction." Don't none of y'all go out and buy that damn book. Because what they say in our book, that the disease is incurable. But let me tell you a little secret. The disease that you hold as an individual, you have the cure. And the cure is don't pick up and you won't use. That's your cure. And you can do that as long as you want to. Now, if you think you're going to read a goddamn book and stay home for 4 or 5 months and don't go no meetings and don't tell yourself you're an addict and shit, yeah, you might have a cure, goddammit. Yeah. You're going to definitely have a cure. Yeah, have your ass right in the mall. Say, he's cured. That's when you're really cured. When your ass laid up in the mall and got a tag on your toe. You cured then, permanently, from everything. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I just like to say and encourage those who are struggling with the program, just keep trying, baby. Just give it your best. Just keep trying, man. Just keep trying, you know. Because then one day you'll wake up. And this is not to dominate, to be authoritative, you know what I'm saying, or to tell people what to do, man. But you deserve this program. And this program saying that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. That you can stay clean a day at a time. And those who are grateful to this program fail at relapse. They seldom relapse, those who are grateful. Those who show their gratitude. And gratitude is an action word. You got to show your gratitude in here. Just can't talk about it. And guess what? Closed mouth don't get fed. You got to talk in here. You got to let people know, because you know what? I feel like dope fiends shouldn't have no shame or guilt associated with their behavior. It's just what's real. You need to expunge on that. You need to talk about that, because that's what's going to cause you and allow you to open up to grow. Keep all that filth in you. It's going to eat away at you. And then one day you're going to be vulnerable to using. Because the one way that you can stay clean and build your self-esteem where you don't need drugs no more. I don't need drugs no more, because I live a good life. And that what makes me feel good about it. I can key in on one little small instance in a daytime and feel like that's the best thing that ever could happen to me. So I don't want to use. I don't want to use. Because I know how to be miserable. If I want to be miserable and no good, a 000 again, all I got to do is pick up. I don't want to pick up. You know? And I don't want y'all to pick up. I don't want nobody, no addict that I run across. I don't never want to see that desperate look in their eyes. I don't never want to wake up again ill. I don't never want to have to go through the camp time and bend over and spread over my cheeks so another man can look up my ass in penitentiary. I don't never want to have to not be able to go somewhere and do what I want to do. That's what this program gives me, freedom. You know, and like I said, man, I'm never going to bite the hand that feeds me. And I know a lot of things, like the topic of the convention, diversity is our strength. You know, the reason why we're so good and so large in numbers today, because we come from every walk of life suffering from the same damn disease that won our lives. So when we come together, we come together with an abundance of knowledge and definitions of information that we need that we can pass on to each other. So let's pass it, y'all. Let's pass this good information about not using and trying to help people and trying to encourage people to know that drugs and alcohol will rob you of your life. And the bottom line is, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go. There's a place, and there are some people who are just like you who can help you to survive a day at a time. So I'd like to thank you all for allowing me to share, man, and peace be with you. Keep coming back.
It's an open meeting. Would anybody like to come up and share? I'd like to thank Joy and Gerardo for sharing.
Thank you, baby.